Coming up on show 962, Hyundai's IONIQ 5 finally breaks cover in some official shots, and with no tech specs, we speculate. Plus on the podcast today, Cadillac's Celestiq EV has a very high-end set of specs, including four-wheel steering and a massive screen. Kia prepares to go electric with their first full ground-up EV. And Foxconn and Geely joining up to make EVs. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, the edition for Thursday, 14th of January. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you haven't got her. Well, a great resource online is MyEV. They help me make the show. If you're in the US, MyEV.com is a marketplace, really simple to use, very slick, very quick, you know, like some, I don't know, like some marketplaces for anything, not just cars. They're asking for a million bits of information and like your inside leg measurement. But really, if you're buying or selling, you want to understand and get really deep into the EV market in the US to really understand, you know, what's out there. Check out MyEV.com. So headline story today, the Hyundai IONIQ 5 has broken cover in some official shots. Only three new official shots we got today, but when we saw the retro-inspired and very beautiful, may I say, concept car, the Hyundai Concept 45, a few years ago now, there was very little chance it would actually enter production. I mean, the point of it was to say what an EV could be, but it was one of those concept cars that had sort of sofas in, shag pile carpets and a sliding barn door on the side. But in reality, what we now call the IONIQ 5 isn't that far off. Now, the interior might not be a living room concept that you'd resemble a plush lounge, but at least the exterior styling has kept much of the standout features of the concept car. The new car, described by Hyundai as a fundamental shift in electric car design, is going to be fully revealed in February. It's the first production model to sit on top of Hyundai, well, actually the group as well, so Hyundai Group, so that's Kia as well, of their new platform, the electric GMP or EGMP. Or eGMP, says Autocar. New design elements include parametric pixels. These are pixel-style lighting elements along the front of the car that make up not only the lights, but also things that can display along the front of the car. Looks really cool. A clamshell bonnet, so that'll really tidy up the front end of most cars that have kind of shut lines and bonnet lines. I can't wait to see that in real life. 20-inch aero wheels will be on the 5. That is probably going to have some smaller, more range-efficient wheels, but the 20 inches on these pictures do look really fine. Technology found in the IONIQ 5 will include vehicle-to-load. It's going to be a 3.5-kilowatt plug socket. Well, actually, two, operating at either 110 or 220 volts, so pretty much useful all around the world. But 3.5 kilowatts load with, like I say, a plug socket on the front, on the outside, and inside too, makes this really useful as a utility vehicle, the kind of thing that Rivian are talking about and many truck makers, but Hyundai are putting into their cars. And Hyundai claims you can get so much power out of this by plugging something in that you could roast a turkey in an oven. Ultra-fast charging is one of their headline marketing pushes. Now, they've given us no specs on this car yet. And by the way, if you're thinking IONIQ, don't they make one of those already? Yes, they make a car called an IONIQ. That's being retired, as we understand. And then the name IONIQ from later this year is being used as a sub-brand for all of their EVs. IONIQ 5, 6, 7, etc. So what they have talked about is fast charging. Now, sometimes these things, you know, companies put out, you know, you can fill the battery up, especially when there's talk of battery breakthroughs, like charge the entire battery in 5 minutes. Well, if the battery's small, that's not a big deal. If it's, you know, 300 kilowatt hours, that's a big deal. So they're not giving us any stats, but they are saying that the car can get to 80% charge in 18 minutes and add 60 miles or 100 kilometers in 5 minutes. So let's try and work backwards from that. So my math may be wrong here. Please correct me in the comments or email me if I've got this thinking wrong. But the range on this car is said to be about 310 on the WLTP. So let's round it down to 300 miles. So although Hyundai won't talk battery sizes or even efficiency, let's assume an efficiency, an average efficiency of 4 miles per kilowatt hour. Now, I know what you're thinking. Actually, those South Korean cars have got some crazy efficiency, even with the combustion platform conversions that they've done. Let's go with 4 miles per kilowatt hour. It could well be more. Then if it was a 300-mile EV, that would need a 75-kilowatt-hour battery. And doing the math, to get to 80% charge of that, which is 60 kilowatt hours in 18 minutes, well, you'd need to get 60 kilowatt hours of juice in 18 minutes into a battery. That is 200 kilowatt hour charging over that charge curve. And that is crazy fast. Because remember, if you turn up with a low state of charge, the car's going to charge quickly and will ramp down. Now, this is a whole new platform. 800-volt system, like the Porsche Taycan, like the Audi e-tron GT, like Rimac use. So this means that depending on the charge curve, you can stop in less than 20 minutes. And if the average speed is 200 kilowatts charge speed, if you can find a high-powered charger that will deliver that, you'll be on your way in 20 minutes. That's a comfort break. And you offer again for another 250-odd miles. Let's also look at their claim of 60 miles or 100 kilometres in 5 minutes. Well, that would be even faster. So looking at that claim, that looks like a peak rate. Again, presuming it'll do 300 miles, it's about 4 miles per kilowatt hour. A peak rate of 744 miles per hour, which is very quick. And again, using my assumptions, that would be a peak rate of around 250 kilowatts. These exact numbers will obviously change, but if it's even ballpark close, that's insanely fast. Like I say, 800-volt architecture, come in a car that will cost a fraction of the price of every other car built with this technology, like Porsche Taycans. Now, that Taycan peaks at 270 kilowatts, but that's a peak charge rate. And of course, the curve goes down as the battery gets more full. I can't wait to find out more details. They are playing their cards very close to their chest. Even if we get somewhere near that, even charging an EV at 150 or 200, like, you know, Tesla owners can often do, that is still incredibly fast. And for most people, after driving for 2, 3, 4 hours, you need at least a 20-minute break. Just for safety, to have a walk around, stretch your legs, and then be back on the road again, it's going to be so interesting. Now, we just saw the Porsche Taycan break the cannonball record from the east coast to the west coast of the US, doing it in 44 hours. So, you know, obviously, like, the cannonball record is a lot lower than that because people drive at crazy speeds. The point wasn't to go fast in the Taycan. The point was to test the Electrify America high-powered chargers that are out there. And I'm sure they put their foot down at some point, but they're not talking about speeds. And clearly from 44 hours, you can tell this wasn't a crazy fast top speed run on the cannonball. But they did. They got very good charge rates, actually. And they had to manage, it's very interesting, had to manage the temperature of the battery pack to get those peak rates, because when the pack, I think if I'm right in saying the battery pack was too warm, the car could take more juice than, or maybe it's the other way around, it was tripping out the chargers. So that is super interesting about more cars coming along that are charging at anything like 200, 250, 270 kilowatts is crazy fast. You're getting into the territory of commercial vehicles and what will need to be in like megawatt chargers for trucks and, Tesla semi-trucks and things. And that is just so impressive for a car that you and I could well be driving for not crazy amounts of money. So what comes next after the 5? Well, there'll be the IONIQ 6. It's a low-slung sports sedan, looking very impressive, and an SUV, but that's not coming for 2 more years. The eGMP platform, EGMP, also accommodates a wide range of vehicle types and driving distances and even lifestyles. They've created a standard battery system with technology optimized for EVs, so a skateboard platform, a unique design for EVs with short overhangs, a very long wheelbase, lots of collision safety, lots of passenger space inside, lots of battery safety as well, and even the space-consuming AC system has been moved from inside the cabin to the extra space created by not having a combustion engine. So the electric motors are also the front and the back of the car. It's a dual motor system with loads of room inside for the passengers. So lots of seat configurations. And that's what I'm more, excited and impressed about with Hyundai and Kia. And I know it's a bit dry to think about, but a platform means quick expansion. So if you're trying to make 5, 10, 15 EVs over the next few years, if you just start from a blank sheet of paper, it won't work. But if you have a platform that is very, very flexible like VW have done with theirs, you can really rapidly roll out small EVs, big EVs, people carriers, vans, and that is exciting because that's the stuff that you and I get excited about, like the actual cars that we can buy and drive and have fun with and see on the roads. But by making this platform and getting it right at the beginning, it allows for a rapid rollout. And Hyundai saying they want 500,000 EVs sold in the next middle of the decade, I think. So they are properly talking about catching up to those that are selling big numbers. Like Tesla did 500,000 EVs this year, just gone, looking at somewhere between 750 and maybe 900,000 this year, if the planets align for Tesla. So all of these EV numbers are starting to be really, really, really mega. Back to the 5, though. Well, the IONIQ 5 is launched in February, so next month, on sale by the end of the year. And the 3-pin or 2-pin plug sockets, I guess, up front on the outside of the car and under the back seat in the middle, kind of opposite where the rear USB chargers would be, kind of on the back of the armrest area if you get them adrift. So you can get that 3.5 kilowatts of power out of the car, much like the Honda E has a plug socket in. It just makes sense. You've got a massive battery, and by doing the clever stuff with vehicle-to-grid, they call it vehicle-to-load, like Lucid are doing, they've put all of that technology into their platform, and so it's just there to go in every car. And it makes sense. It makes sense being out on the road when you're working, if you need to plug in tools, if you're camping, if you need to plug in cooking equipment, if you have a power cut and need to plug into your car, or even if, and I don't know if anyone will actually do this, like they get free charging at work or something, even if they drive to work or empty their battery, charge up for free, and then go home and plug the house into it. Because, I mean, how many things really take a lot more than 3.5 kilowatts? You know, I suppose boiling the kettle and maybe putting the hot water on, but really, like, I suppose if you wanted to be extreme, you could run your house off your car with a 3.5 kilowatt outlet. Not to be recommended. Electricians everywhere are shouting at their podcast device now going, no, don't do that. Anyway, let's move on. Cadillac and next. GM have been doing a lot of announcements about EVs, and Cadillac Celestiq is going to be the flagship EV, and 4 is the magic number for the CES show, which a lot of these announcements are coming out of, the virtual trade show that's happening, of course, because of COVID, so it's all happening virtually. The new Cadillac Celestiq will have four-wheel drive, four-wheel steering, and a 4-quadrant glass roof, according to Green Car Reports, who say the roof is made from suspended particle device smart glass. Okay. Allowing each of the 4 occupants, because there's no middle seat in the rear, to have a level of transparency for their own quadrant. So you could look through a clear piece of glass, I guess, if you want to see the stars, and if somebody next to you wants to block out the light, I guess they could select that. Okay. Okay, there is pillar-to-pillar freeform display on the front, a whole screen, the width of the car for driver and front passenger as well, screens for the passengers in the rear, and separate individualized comfort settings for everybody and entertainment displays for everybody as well. The Celestiq is one of the numerous EVs based on GM's Ultium modular battery platform, and that is expected to have a fastback shape, handmade in Detroit. The same platform is going to be used for the Lyriq, which is the SUV coming soon, and that will arrive. The Lyriq is first, the Celestiq will be next. The full-width display is taking on the likes of Mercedes-Benz with the MBUX hyperscreen. Again, the full width of the car, massive. It's like a big widescreen telly in your car. And the Ultium battery packs can go up to 200 kilowatt hours. Actually, slightly over for the Hummer. And so some models should have very impressive range. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes. Well, Kia is working on its own full electric car from the ground up, of course, sister to Hyundai, and we've been seeing it lots in camo recently. Kia is keeping the car under super tight wraps. It's very thick cladding, very thick camouflage, not just the thin, swirly skin that you see, but just covered in bits of foam and black fabric, and the bare metal isn't even visible. The coverings cover the front and the rear fascias, the hatch, the doors. You just have to imagine what it looks like underneath. We don't know, and the hatch design is distorted with extra cladding. Says Motor1.com, the new EV from Kia will be on their, I mentioned it, the EGMP, the EGMP platform. Horsepower and performance specs will be elusive, but this is a Kia, so it won't expect it to be rinsing the performance, but more about efficiency rather than oomph. Next, we're talking Foxconn, and the Chinese carmaker Geely have created a joint venture to sell and make services to the car industry, anybody that wants to have an EV made for them. The deal was announced on Wednesday, yesterday, marking Foxconn's expansion into the car sector and reflecting Geely, of course the Chinese company that owns the likes of Volvo and Polestar, their desire to partner with tech companies. Well, Foxconn and Geely will provide what is car production, so they'll make the things, consulting, intelligent driving systems and other services. So things like the software and charging, all of that wrapped up into this new agreement to anybody that wants to purchase those services, according to CNBC's website, who said the Taiwanese firm Foxconn is best known as the company that makes Apple iPhones and hundreds of millions of them, and they know how to make things like that. So although a car is, I know, bigger than a phone, they have experience in engineering. And it's recently Foxconn launched their own platform to help car companies make EVs. This month, Foxconn signed a deal with the Chinese EV maker Byton to help produce their first vehicle. So the company that makes iPhones is setting up a company with Geely to make EVs for other people. I can't possibly imagine who they would be having in mind. Apple. What? Who said that? Apple. No, surely not. We heard the news earlier this week that Hyundai were making Apple's car, but then Apple quickly, well, no, they didn't deny it, but Hyundai were forced to put out a statement immediately saying, we're working with many people and so are other companies. Not even mentioning Apple in the revised press release that came out moments afterwards. Somebody got a rollicking for mentioning Hyundai and Apple. So maybe that deal was never, you know, wasn't meant to be announced, or maybe it's not happening. Very interesting that Foxconn and Geely have this new company that says, hey, we can provide all these services. So maybe Apple would come with the software and the hardware, or their own silicon, their own chips, their own self-driving technology, and the design. Of course, Apple's industrial design is second to none. But who wants to get into the car-making business? Ask Elon Musk a few years ago. It's not exactly something that you want to be starting from scratch in. Just saying. Moving on. Hitachi Capital are investing more in the GridServe business over here in the UK. Hitachi Capital announced £10 million more pounds of investment in GridServe's parent company, GridServe Sustainable Energy Limited. The firms say that it's strengthening their partnership following the successful launch of the first ultra-fast, what's called electric forecourt. And so 24 chargers. According to Electrive, it's not the first investment of their funding arm. The company has funded over £24 million so far in GridServe, and including funding to deliver the completion of this first electric forecourt. Once again, the press release says this is the first of over 100 electric forecourts being installed in the next 5 years. And as I say, every time I say this, and people think I'm having a go, and I'm genuinely not, that is a rate of 20 a year. So it's a rate of about 2 a month. And people email me, go, you should be talking about GridServe more. It's amazing. They've opened up this electric forecourt, had a big open day, like fully charged were there. And it was a big deal. And I'm so pleased for them because it is enormously capital intensive to buy the land, to get the grid connection, to put the solar panels in, and to actually buy the hardware, buy all the chargers. And there's shops on site and relaxation facilities. It is incredible what they've done. But for years, they've been pumping out this, hey, we're going to build 100 of them. And that's a real admirable goal. But it's just not true. And I love them. But people say to me, oh, you should be behind them and backing them and promoting them. And I am happy for them. But if it was true, there'd be two more a month. By January, there'd be two more. And OK, that's a linear line. OK, that is if they were ramping linearly. And so maybe you say, well, they'll make just 12 this year. Okay, that's one a month. There's no way they're going to make one a month. And I'm not bashing them. And I'm really pleased for them. But they talk a big game, but they've delivered. That's the key, right? They are talking like, hey, we're going to build 100 of these things. The key is they've delivered their first one. And I'm so pleased for them. It is such an expensive thing to do. And the ROI, the payback is, you know, good luck to them with that business case, because we need these facilities. Because, yeah, charging is done at home, but it's so cool to know that you're turning up to a station where there's 20 or 30 chargers. You're going to be able to plug in at a really fast speed and pay a reasonable amount. I'm happy to pay them a good amount for that electricity because it's a convenience. It's like going to the motorway service stations and, yeah, getting petrol. So Let's move on before I get misunderstood. Finally, Honda is building two hot EVs, new entries into the motorsport roster. They're making a drag racer out of a Honda E and a hill climb competitor from an N1. They're teasing its reveal on yet another microsite in advance of the virtual Tokyo Auto Salon in 2021, says Jalopnik. A performance version of the Model E is what enthusiasts have been clamoring for. Honda claims on its microsite that both the performance electric Honda E and the performance N1 will compete on an actual racing circuit by this March. Looking forward to that. Honda is such a cool little car, and they're making a really hot version of it to go racing in. Amazing. Love your Honda. Keep it coming. Right, question of the week. Get your answer in now, and I'll read it out on Sunday. What's your favourite charging network and why? Maybe it's using grid-serving Braintree here in the UK. I'll happily promote them and give them some love. What is, depending on where you live around the world, tell me why you like using this particular charging network. You can email hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, there are 961 previous shows in the archive, and I'd love to invite you to check out the blog evnewsdaily.com and leave a little review if you ever get a chance on Apple Podcasts, rating or review on your phone, your iPad, your computer, and say a few words. Helps other people find the show. Thank you very much to everyone who supports on Patreon, whether it's a producer or, you know, $5 or $10 a month, or the top level, the companies and individuals that support me and make this show happen. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard, rsimons.co.uk. No, they've got a new URL, RSEV. Check it out, rsev.co.uk, for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. Oh, and do remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.